The next item, the first item on the agenda, excuse me, is advisory opinion request 2021-06, submitted on behalf of Representative Robin Kelly and the Democratic Party of Illinois. We are joined today by Charles Borden, and Sam Brown, who are available to respond to questions that commissioners may have. So Mr. Borden and Mr. Brown, I say welcome today. I think for particularly one of you, it is a welcome back, and I'm sure Commissioner Weintraub will highlight that for you. We also have Heather Philmeyer and Robert Knopp, from OGC here to discuss the matter. And I turn to OGC. Council?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, Commissioners. Before you are agenda documents 21-30-A and 21-30-B, alternative draft advisory opinions responding to a request from U.S. Congresswoman Robin Kelly and the Democratic Party of Illinois. Representative Kelly was recently elected to serve as chair of the Democratic State Central Committee, which governs the state party. Requesters ask whether adopting one of three proposed governance structures during Congresswoman Kelly's tenure as chair would permit the state party to raise and spend funds through its non-federal account in amounts and from sources prohibited by the act, but permitted under Illinois law. The requesters further ask whether the Congresswoman's name and title as chair may be included on the letterhead of solicitations for the non-federal account. Draft A concludes that the state party would be prohibited from raising and spending funds in amounts and from sources prohibited by the act under any of the proposed governance structures because Congresswoman Kelly would retain indirect control over the non-federal account. Given that conclusion, the letterhead question is moot. Draft B concludes that the state party may raise funds in amounts and from sources prohibited by the act, but permitted under Illinois law through its non-federal account if both the non-federal account is administered by a special committee without the review or approval of Congresswoman Kelly, and the majority of the special committee's members are automatically appointed to the special committee by virtue of holding a specific office and not appointed by the chair. Draft B further concludes that Congresswoman Kelly's name and title as chair must not be included on the letterhead of any solicitation that solicits funds in amounts and from sources prohibited by the act, because using her name and title in that manner would identify the solicitation as being sent on Congresswoman Kelly's behalf in violation of the act's soft money prohibition. We did not receive any comments on the request. We received one comment on the drafts. Thank you, and I will be happy to address any questions you may have.
Thank you. Is there any discussion, or do commissioners have any questions for council?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Cooksey.
As I'm usually want to do, given that we have representatives for the requester here, I would like to hear their views, I guess, on both drafts and any initial comments they might have before commissioner questions.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. And we'd like to start just by thanking all the commissioners for your time and for your consideration of the request. And also thank the staff for your assistance with the entire process. So I'd just like to say at the outset that our goal in seeking this advisory opinion is not to weaken BCRA, to create an exception to BCRA, or to facilitate the ability of a federal office holder to solicit non-federal funds. Instead, what we're doing here is seeking to address a situation that has come up, a fact pattern that has come up a number of times since BCRA was adopted, but that has never been the subject of formal commission guidance. And that is the fact pattern of having a sitting federal office holder as the chair of a state party. And so what we're really seeking to do is have the commission apply its longstanding precedents and its regulations to this fact pattern, considering the structural proposals that we have put forward in the advisory opinion request. And I think today what we're really going to focus on is the first of those proposals, the special committee, which would be a committee composed, a majority of which would be composed of individuals who hold a seat on that committee by virtue of holding another office. So these are individuals who are fully insulated from Congresswoman Kelly's control, whom she could not select, whom she could not terminate. And I think our view is that with this type of structure in place, and in view of the fact that that special committee would have complete and total responsibility for the management, direction, fundraising, and all other aspects of the non-federal account. Our view is that the Congresswoman would not be deemed to control the non-federal account. We do support, for those reasons, draft B, and we would urge the committee to adopt that draft. And we're ready to get into specifics of any of the individual regulations or to address any questions that the commissioners might have.
Thank you, counsel. Any additional questions for counsel? I see none. Is there a motion then?
Madam Chair.
Commissioner Traynor.
I do have a few questions with regard to that for counsel for the Illinois party. So you said that you prefer draft B. What is your view of the legal analysis with regard to draft A and why it's not correct?
Thank you, Commissioner. So I think to address that, it's probably most useful to go through the four criteria that draft A applies to this fact pattern and to discuss why we think that its conclusions are ultimately unfounded. And at the outset, I'd just like to note that when analyzing this fact pattern, we are proposing to significantly revise the committee's bylaws. So while we did include at the request of staff the existing bylaws for reference of the commission, we're proposing a totally new structure. And along with that structure, we're proposing a number of governance measures, including trainings and annual certifications to ensure that that structure is adhered to. And just to run through them. So, and again, I'm going to be focused on the special committee option since that's the one that is the focus of the two drafts. There are really four principal criteria that draft A goes through in concluding that the special committee structure would nonetheless result in the Congresswoman controlling the non-federal account. The first of these is the governance point. And at the outset, we'd note that the special committee, which again is composed of a majority of individuals who would hold their seat on that committee by virtue of holding another office. And so in that sense would not be subject to the direction or control of the chair. You know, we're talking about the Speaker of the Illinois House of Representatives, for example, who holds that office for other reasons and is not at all someone who can be dismissed from that role by Congresswoman Kelly. So that special committee composed of the majority of those individuals would have total authority over the governance of the non-federal account. Just to underscore that, the Congresswoman in her role as chair would not have any governance authority with respect to the non-federal account. Draft A refers to the central committee members as potentially providing an avenue for the chair to have to exert control over the non-federal account. But once the bylaws have been revised, those central committee members will not have a role in connection with the non-federal account. Just to reiterate something I've mentioned a few times, it is the special committee that would have exclusive authority. And it's also the case that all of the employees of the party who work on non-federal matters would ultimately and exclusively be subject to oversight and direction and potential termination for their non-federal account work to the special committee. So in other words, none of those employees would, the chair would not have the ability to fire, to review, to direct, none of those things with respect to party employees who are working on non-federal account matters. So, we think given that, if you apply the regulations of the committee that address governance, it's clear that it is the special committee and not the chair that has governance authority over the non-federal account. The second of the four criteria is personnel. And here again, it's clear that because all of the personnel of the party who are working on non-federal account matters are subject to the supervision oversight of the special committee and not the chair, she does not have the ability to influence the non-federal account through her oversight over personnel. And the commission has long recognized in other contexts that it's possible for someone to supervise an employee with respect to one set of activities, but not with respect to another set of activities. That's just absolutely core to the commission's approach to foreign national involvement in elections. And we're really asking for that same type of analysis, and we would expect the commission to apply that same type of analysis here, to allow the special committee to exert that oversight and direction over party employees when they're dealing with personnel who are working on the non-federal account. And the other two criteria in the commission regs, draft A actually finds with respect to funding and formation, and we would agree with this, that those criteria weigh against a finding of control. So we've got governance, personnel, funding, and formation. And if we look at all four of those, we think all four of them weigh against a finding of control, given the special committee structure that we're proposing to set up and proposing to the law. You know, just, and this is not, this is more as a matter of background and not directly relevant to applying these regulations. But if we think about the policy that animates BCRA and the type of fact pattern that gave rise to the soft money ban, we're thinking about a situation where a federal office holder is able to solicit non-federal funds from an individual. They're then able to be involved in directing the spending of those funds. And then finally, they might feel some sense of obligation or duty or beholdenness to the individual who provided those non-federal funds. And the concern is that that all presents a risk of corruption or the appearance of corruption involving the federal office holder. Well, here, the chair is not going to be involved in any of those activities. She is not going to have anything to do with soliciting non-federal funds. She won't be involved in interacting with donors who are giving non-federal funds. She won't be involved in spending non-federal funds. So all of the decisions regarding making contributions out of the non-federal account, relating to spending in state races from the non-federal account, advertising, regarding terminating someone who does a bad job on that sort of non-federal spending, all of those things are the sole and exclusive province of the special committee. And the chair is both insulated from those activities, and she's subject to a detailed governance regime to make sure that she abides by that restriction. And given that, we think that it's clear, if you apply those regulations, that there is no control for purposes of BCRA.
So how long have the current bylaws that you have submitted been in place?
I would have to get back to you on that. I think that they were amended somewhat recently, but they've in core they've been around for a significant period of time. But we can.
Do you find it?
Please go ahead.
Do you find it problematic at all that we find ourselves in a situation where BCRA is dictating to a private association how they have to organize their bylaws in order to be able to run their operations?
Commissioner, we are comfortable as representatives of the party with a situation in which the chair is separated from those activities. So I think that that kind of question is really sort of beyond the scope of our request, I suppose I would say.
So it really, then that gets to my question of do you really think we have jurisdiction to be able to dictate what the bylaw structure of a private association like the Illinois Party would be?
Commissioner, I take your point. I think in the specific context of this advisory opinion request, your jurisdiction is founded on the fact that we have voluntarily presented a specific fact pattern. And we're asking for the commission to confirm that if we abide by that fact pattern, we will not be found by the commission to have violated BCRA or FECA. And so just for that, within that context of that sort of request, we think that there is a jurisdiction. And certainly, I think as a practical matter, if the commission was unable to render an opinion as a result of concerns about jurisdiction, that would make things quite challenging for the party going forward and would introduce a level of complexity really for any state party that has an equivalent situation. And so I think while I certainly recognize the points that you're raising and find those to be very interesting, I think for purposes of this practical advisory opinion request, our concern is to have our specific fact pattern addressed in a sense that gives us some assurances to the state of the law going
forward. Now, Congresswoman Kelly is currently serving as the chair, or is she incoming?
She has already been elected as chair, yes.
So is the party currently engaged? Is the party currently engaged in fundraising activities, or have they suspended all fundraising?
The party has suspended all non-federal fundraising activities pending the resolution of this issue.
Okay. And if the commission is unable to render an opinion with regard to this, would the party just continue to not raise funds, or what would your next step be?
You know, Commissioner, I think we'd have to evaluate the specific context of that failure to render an opinion. We would want to take a look at the particular events that occurred and try to assess them in light of the commission's past precedents and regulations. That being said, let me be very clear. We have a very strong interest in having this issue resolved and having it resolved on an expedited basis so that the party can return to its core party activities of working to elect Democrats up and down the ticket.
So tell me what the day-to-day activities for Congresswoman Kelly would be if she's going to be excluded from what I see as probably a core function of a state party, which is the raising of funds to support the candidates of the particular party. What is her day-to-day role within the party become if she doesn't have the ability to make hiring and firing decisions of this specific group of people, and yet they have such an extreme influence over the activities of what the party engages in?
Certainly, Commissioner, and that's an excellent question. She would obviously still have authority over the federal account and the essentially the hard money aspects of the party. And I think she would also serve as the figurehead and the leader of the party. This structure and this opinion would not at all affect her ability to campaign and to advocate for the party and for Democrats up and down the ticket. And I think there is a real value here. And I suppose this gets to why this is relevant to party operations beyond just application of BCRA. But we think there's a value here, and this is reflected in the Congressional Black Caucus's comment that they issued on having members of Congress and other federal office holders have that ability to play an important role in party operations and to be closely working with people on the state level. Congresswoman Kelly's vision for the Illinois Democratic Party is a sort of inclusive, open, collaborative structure. That's what she's hoping to achieve. And it's her belief that she can achieve that by being the head of the party, by campaigning, by getting to know and work with people all throughout the state, and also by directing the federal activities of the party.
So if we were to adopt draft A, do you think state parties would be less likely to look to federal office holders to serve as chairs of their particular parties?
Yes, I do, sir. Commissioner.
And then how burdensome is it going to be on the Illinois party to have to maintain two different, I mean, we're going so far here is that you have to maintain two different sets of letterhead. And Congresswoman Kelly can't appear on even a particular letterhead. So how burdensome is that going to be to the Illinois party as far as both internal operations and expenses thrust upon the party?
Well, Commissioner, some of those burdens, in our view, are really inherent to the structure of BCRA. So having the party already operate as separate committees, a non-federal account and a federal account, that division is already reflected in the party's structure and operations. There would be some additional burden. We would have the need to establish the special committee. We would have the need to have the trainings and also the annual certifications and the other governance structures that we're proposing to adopt. But our view is that those burdens are well worth the candle of having Congresswoman Kelly be able to serve as chair and also having that structure in place. And we also feel, and I think this is clear in the request, and there's another point that's included in the Congressional Black Caucus comment letter that I'd like to echo. The party and Congresswoman Kelly absolutely supports BCRA and the soft money divide. That's why we're not seeking in this advisory opinion to weaken those rules or to carve out an exception to those rules. We're seeking to develop an accommodation to those rules that allows her to function in this role while keeping those important anti-corruption protections in place. That's our view.
In your point about creating the carve out there, do you know of any other state party committees that have faced a similar situation and how they may have dealt with it?
There are other state parties that have had and do have sitting federal office holders as chair. I wouldn't want to be in a position to speculate exactly as to the circumstances of those parties. We're representing the Illinois Democratic Party, and we just would prefer to only address our specific background.
Okay, do you think we're creating a rule here that this would be the only way that state parties could deal with this situation?
Commissioner, I do not. I think that given the nature of the advisory opinion request process, and also given the language of Draft B, and I think Draft B is attentive to this, all that we would be doing is saying in this, given these facts, BCRA would not prohibit, the Congresswoman would not control the non-federal account, and there would be no restriction on the non-federal account raising and spending funds in excess of federal limits. So all that we're saying is up to this point, you are consistent with the law. I think that the commission would be able in the future to consider other requests or other proposed approaches. These are the ones that we are offering. And so I think your hands would not be tied.
Yeah, and Congresswoman Kelly is a resident of Illinois, I assume, correct?
That is correct, Commissioner.
And what could you roughly guess at what percentage of non-federal funds the Illinois State Party receives interstate versus what it receives intrastate?
I'm sorry, Commissioner, I do not have access to those figures and I haven't performed that analysis, so I'd be hesitant to speculate.
Okay, but Congresswoman Kelly is elected to her position as a function of state law, or is she just elected as a function of the operation of the party?
I believe it's the intersection of state law and the party's own structures, but it's effectively a state law function, Commissioner.
So she's elected under state law, and she's a resident of Illinois, and there may be the possibility that you haven't done the analysis, but there may be the possibility that all or some of the non-federal funds are coming intrastate as opposed to interstate. Is that correct?
Commissioner, all those points are correct. I think certainly at least some portion of the non-federal funds that the party receives come from within the state of Illinois.
So would it be possible to carve out the intrastate elements versus the interstate elements and say that this all operates as a function of state law and not as a function of BCRA?
Commissioner, that's an interesting proposal. We haven't given that significant amounts of thought, and our current request is presented that does not include that element.
Okay. I appreciate it, and sorry to have so many questions for you this morning, but Madam Chair, that's all the questions I have. I did have one comment with regard to Congressman Meek's comments on behalf of the Congressional Black Caucus and did want to publicly thank him. I think it's important that the FEC receive public comments on things like this. And while Congressman Meeks and I may not see eye to eye on all aspects of campaign finance regulation, I think it's delightful that in this particular instance that we agree that the requesters shouldn't be prohibited from engaging in the type of conduct that they have at issue, even though I may not be fully there on draft B yet, but I do appreciate Congressman Meeks and the Congressional Black Caucus for weighing in on this issue. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Commissioner Traynor. Let me open it up to my colleagues before I had a few questions and want to jump in. Okay, well, I will. I want to join Commissioner Traynor in thanking Congressman Meeks and the Congressional Black Caucus PAC for submitting their comment. I found it quite helpful, and I appreciate their strong statement that they are support of BCRA and campaign finance laws, and in fact, that they were the members at the time when BCRA was implemented, a high proponent of the members of the Congressional Black Caucus were voting in favor of that. So I found the comment also very important, fruitful, and thank you for sending it. And I hope to continue to submit comments to the future for whatever they feel is relevant. But I had some factual questions that's going through in draft A. So the issue is not just direct, but indirect control. So I think, and just help me understand if this is correct, Congressman Kelly would retain authority. This is in the government section of draft A, and it's going to be on page 10 of it if you need the reference for it. Congresswoman Kelly would retain authority over the governance of the non-federal account, is what the draft A says, through the appointment of central committee members and special committee members. But the comment has been, or the statements have been, that she would not appoint a majority. Is that correct?
Chair, that is correct. She would, let me actually pull apart a couple different strands there. Once the bylaws are revised to reflect the proposed governance structure contained in option one, the central committee officers would not have any role related to the non-federal account. That would be the exclusive purview of the special committee. So the reference to central committee officers, in our view, is misplaced. Mm-hmm. With respect to the special committee members, under option one, a majority of those individuals would sit by virtue of holding other office, generally legislative leadership offices. Congresswoman Kelly would have the ability to appoint a minority of the special committee, though, if it is dispositive to the commission's consideration of this issue, the party would also be open to a structure under which all of the special committee members serve by virtue of holding other offices and Congresswoman Kelly appointed no member of the special committee. So that is something the party would be willing to incorporate into its structure if that is relevant to the commission's decision.
So by the fact that you would be willing to incorporate that, are you acknowledging that there is some indirect control by the fact that she would have the ability to appoint not the majority, but the minority of the individuals?
In our view, the ability to appoint a minority of the special committee members in and of itself, provided that she otherwise is completely insulated from non-federal account activities, is insufficient to give Congresswoman Kelly control. We think that clearly...
Indirect control, yes.
We think that in that case, the special committee, a majority, would still be composed entirely of... allow me to restate. A majority of the special committee would hold that position by virtue of holding other offices. Generally, when the commission analyzes questions of control, it looks to particularly when there's a single governing body, like a board of directors or another type of structure like that, a multi-member governing body, it looks to the composition of a majority of that governing body. That being said, as I mentioned earlier, the party is certainly willing to ensure that Congresswoman Kelly appoints no one to the special committee if that is dispositive to your decision.
Thank you. And also the draft A also highlighted the personnel. And the draft on page 11 says Congresswoman Kelly would retain general authority granted by the bylaw to hire staff and appoint officers who may work on the non-federal account and to dismiss and discipline who work on the non-federal for reasons unrelated. But it's still touching on to personnel, which is one of the factors that is outlined in the statute. Is there some measure of resolving that as you attempted to suggest for the appointments of the special committee?
I think that we're not proposing any changes to that structure beyond what's already in option one. And then let me just address, Chair, the point that you raised, because I think it's a good one. Under this proposal, while Congresswoman Kelly would be able to hire staff who later might go on at some subsequent point in time to work on non-federal account activities, because she's to have no involvement with the non-federal account, our view is that she would not be hiring individuals specifically to work on the non-federal account. We just don't want to make it so that every time someone's going to work on non-federal account activities, you have to go back and confirm that they had not previously been hired by the chair. But the oversight of state party personnel who are working on non-federal account issues is entirely going to be in the hands of the special committee. And so the chair is not going to have any role whatsoever in reviewing, in directing, in terminating and doing annual performance reviews, in it really any aspect of the management and oversight of personnel that are working on those issues in connection with the non-federal account. And as I mentioned earlier, the commission has long recognized that it's possible to supervise an employee with respect to one set of duties and not with respect to another set. So if we're talking about someone who's working solely on non-federal account matters, they're not going to be subject to any management or supervision at all by the chair. If we're talking about someone who has some mixture of duties, let's take, for example, if there were an in-house counsel and they had roles that related to the non-federal account and roles that related to the federal account, she could only supervise them with respect to the federal account. And if we're thinking of addressing the risk of corruption or the appearance of corruption that BCRA tries to address, I think it's just extremely attenuated to say that there's a risk that someone might give funds in excess of federal limits and that those funds might go to someone who is working on, you know, those funds will go to the party and then someone at the party is going to be working on those issues. And even though the chair is trained and makes an annual certification and is 100% not able to be involved in that person's activity at all, that still somehow that donation from an unrelated third party, because of her oversight of party personnel that are working on other issues, presents a risk of corruption or the appearance of corruption. That, in our view, is just too attenuated of a chain of causation to present a meaningful risk under BCRA. Chair, hopefully that answers your question.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Can you explain to me, and you probably already have, but just asking you to say it again, how you believe the draft A precludes the federal candidates or officers from participating in state affairs?
Sorry, Chair, if we created the impression that draft A would completely preclude federal officers from participating in state affairs, that wasn't our intent. I think the question from Commissioner Traynor had been about whether it would affect the ability of federal office holders to serve as chair of state parties. And given that, I think we've attempted to present, in our view, a very conservative structure and one that includes a lot of safeguards and protections. If the commission nevertheless found that there was indirect control despite that structure, I think it would be difficult for other state parties to develop alternatives that would nonetheless insulate appropriately a chair from the non-federal account. So I think as a practical matter, that would make it quite challenging for other federal office holders to serve in significant roles, I would say, with state parties.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I don't have any further questions right now. I want to open it up to my colleagues.
Madam Chair, if nobody else has any questions, I have one follow-up just from something.
We'll go back to you, Commissioner Traynor. Commissioner Weintraub, there is a tag team on who, so that we can just hear a different voice, and then we feel free to join in after she is. Any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Mr. Brown and Mr. Borden. As the chair alluded earlier, in the interest of full disclosure, a number of years ago, Mr. Brown worked for me. He always gave me excellent counsel when he worked for me, and I think everyone can see what a terrific lawyer he is. Having said that, I do have concerns about this request, although I appreciate the care and the ingenuity that went into crafting it. I'm worried about what kind of precedent this might set and what other activity it might open the door to. Do you think that a federal office holder could take on the role of chair of a hybrid PAC that had a hard money account and was also had a super PAC account as long as they set up this kind of special committee to supervise the soft money account?
Commissioner, that's an excellent question. And unfortunately, I think it's one that that's a slightly different fact pattern. And I don't think we've fully thought through all the ramifications of that. I think typically when someone functions as chair of a PAC, oftentimes that's a ceremonial role or there's a board of directors for that PAC. So I'm trying to think of what the equivalent to a state party chair is really in connection with the hybrid PAC. But we did not intend, and I think draft B is consistent with this intent, to open the door to other types of structures outside of the state party context. This was intended to be very tailored to state party organizations and is not intended to have broader ramifications for other types of political entities, particularly those that that are different and that may have been developed after Citizens United and the other cases that followed Citizens United. So I think the answer is no. If it's helpful in the draft to include language to that effect, we would certainly support that. I also think a hybrid PAC in some ways there are closer linkages between the unregulated, I hesitate to call it soft money because it's almost a different beast, super PAC side of the hybrid PAC and the hard money PAC. And I think it may pose some real, it may practically be impossible for anyone to serve in that role given those close linkages and the way that they're intertwined. But I prefer to sort of focus on the specific fact pattern that we have here. And as we mentioned at the outset, this is a fact pattern that does come up of chairs serving in these roles of state parties. So for better or worse, we're not in a position where this is a future hypothetical. This is and I recognize the challenge that presents, that you're presented with facts on the ground that state parties have done this and are looking for guidance, that maybe if the commission had the opportunity to draft a set of regulations in advance and wasn't addressing this through the advisory opinion process. I'm not sure that when the BCRA regulations were drafted that this type of arrangement was at the forefront of people's thoughts. But when we do apply those regulations, when we apply the regulations that do exist, I think that it's clear that the conclusion has to be that she does not control the non-federal account. Sorry, that was a somewhat rambling answer there, Commissioner. My apologies.
No, thank you. I always appreciate your thoughts, Mr. Brown.
I can assure you I'm not going to be coming back with a request from a hybrid PAC to you.
Don't make promises. You never know who's the next client is going to walk in the door.
I'll turn that client down.
I may not.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. That's all I have right now, Madam Chair.
Commissioner Training, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Mr. Brown, if the commission were to, well, first of all, Congresswoman Kelly is clearly the choice of the Democratic Party in Illinois to lead the party. But if we were to tie the hands of the party with regard to this fundraising, is there a provision in state law that allows her to resign and for there to be a new chair elected so that the party could continue to function?
I think that Commissioner, that's an interesting question. I believe that she would be able to resign. And if she were able to resign and someone who is not a federal office holder were to take that position, then these issues would be moot. But she has a vision for the party, for the Democratic Party of Illinois. And that is a vision that has attracted the support of people from all corners of the party. And I think that it would be a real shame if, given all the lengths that she's willing to go to in terms of accommodating the structure, if she was not able to have a chance to deliver on that vision for the people of Illinois.
I agree with you on that point. I think it's very important for the members of the party to be able to select their leadership and not have their hands tied in these type of instances. You had mentioned in your back and forth with the chair the assertion about Congresswoman Kelly being able to supervise in respect to employees, but not with regard to the non-federal funds. How is that line drawn, and how are you going to make sure that it doesn't get crossed?
I think that we will, if the commission does approve this special committee approach and does recognize that division, we will look to the commission's long precedents in terms of particularly corporate oversight of a PAC where some foreign nationals are involved in the corporation, members of the board or other individuals involved or foreign nationals. And the commission has developed a clear structure with a lot of guidance for ensuring that supervision is limited. So essentially, and we can get into some of the details, but if you're having an annual review, if the person only has non-federal account duties, then they're not going to be subject to an annual review by the chair. If they have hybrid duties, she's only going to review them with respect to their federal account activities, and the special committee would review them with respect to the non-federal account activities. So there's a division, and that division is sort of really emphasized for all parties involved by the regular trainings and by the need that they will be very aware of to certify on an annual basis that they complied with these restrictions. So we would build on the commission's existing precedent in this space and have a sort of set of rules around that. And I think what we found in the corporate PAC context is that that's a very feasible and extremely workable approach that people generally do not have a problems implementing.
I appreciate that. You, in your submission, you had two other alternatives to the select committee, which we have not addressed, primarily because they get to an answer on the first question. But would you mind going through the other two alternatives that you proposed as being available and how those might work, particularly the second one?
Sure. So the I believe the second one is the vice chair. So the vice chair.
Yes.
It's very similar to the special committee model, except that it has a single individual rather than a multi-member board. The vice chair in that question would basically be one person who is solely responsible for the non-federal account activities. In all other respects, it is similar to the option one. I think that our goal in presenting three options was to give the commission a range of potential structures to choose between. And I think ultimately, because the commission in draft B addresses the special committee structure, that's the one we focused on. But we think it's also feasible to have a similar structure with a vice chair as a single individual, a single point of responsibility for non-federal account activities.
Do you think it's important for us to answer the vice chair question for you so that the party has the greatest range of options available to it in order to be able to operate the way it wants to?
Commissioner, I think that the party is comfortable with all three of the options presented. And from the perspective of the party, it's really the party's focus is to have this issue resolved. So that it can begin resuming its normal state party activities and focus on fighting for improving the lives of the people of Illinois, which is really its core function. So to answer your question directly, we would be comfortable if the commission only addressed the special committee structure if the commission prefers to address other options as well, we're also comfortable with that approach. Our primary interest is in having a resolution to this question.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Brown. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you, Commissioner Traynor. Are there any more questions for council? I'm sorry to go back, council. I'm intrigued by what you said about removing the pot. If we take away Congresswoman Kelly's ability to appoint to the special committee, and I wonder if that sufficiently addresses the governance issue. So I wonder if OGC can weigh in on that, or if we would need some additional time to be able to consider that aspect of it. I know that we have your deadline is July 6th, so we do not have another open meeting prior to that time period. But that's a point that's interesting, and I would like to get OGC's feedback and thoughts in regards to that. And it's a little bit short notice now, but I'm turning to council. She's smiling. So I'm turning to council, and feel free to say that. And I'm perfectly comfortable with you saying I need some more time to think about it.
So I think we probably would like more time, but I will just say, I think that with the way the special committee is structured, with the majority already not appointed by the chair, that is only weighing slightly in favor. That's not really a significant factor the main factor. I think the personnel control and the possibility of overlapping personnel control is one of the key issues in that draft, in draft A.
Thank you. Any further questions for OGC or our council? I see head shaking no. I think you all around done an excellent job of presenting everything today. Some really difficult questions before the commission. But let me now turn, is there a motion? We have two drafts in front of us. Commissioner Trent.
Madam Chair, if we could, I would like to hold this over. I would like to take a shot at making a couple of tweaks to draft B. So I'd like to hold it over if possible.
And but I assume, are you requesting an extension from our requesters, because we do not have another meeting before that deadline date?
That's right. I forgot about that. So, Mr. Brown, would the party be willing to give the commission an extension to be able to get to a consensus answer to this question?
Commissioner, we would be willing to give an extension, though we would underscore that from our perspective, this is an urgent and time-sensitive question.
I understand that. I prefer draft B, as you've stated that you do as well. I think based upon some of the comments that you've made, I'd like to take a shot at making a few tweaks to it and see if I can't get a consensus among my colleagues.
Certainly, Commissioner, we welcome that approach.
Go on, Commissioner Traynor. I just wanted to highlight, I'm sorry to interrupt you, I apologize, is that we still have a little bit of time that we could try to resolve this on tally. I will actively work with my colleagues to see if we can find some way forward. I'd like to say, if there's an extension, maybe we don't need a long extension because we do have some time, but I think I'm being coached into saying 2 weeks by the two fingers held up by Commissioner Cooksey. So I will allow staff and council to, if you would, work together to find out some time period. But I would really like to see if we can try to resolve this on tally. But of course, if you are considering an extension, enough time so that we get to the next meeting, which the dates were recently announced. So I apologize for interrupting. Commissioner Traynor, please go ahead if you had something further.
No, you've answered my question, and that'll be plenty of time. Thank you.
Thank you. Unless there are any further, Commissioner Cooksey.
Yeah, very briefly, Madam Chair.
Of course.
I think given the deadline is the current deadline of this request is July 6th. I think we have an open meeting on July 8th. So I meant 2 days, not 2 weeks of an extension possible. So 48 hours essentially as an extension on the deadline of that request. I'm also happy to try to resolve this on tally, so that wouldn't be necessary, but I think giving us the opportunity to have another open meeting if we can't get that done would be helpful. I also think it would be helpful from my perspective to have, frankly, the additional time if others want to submit additional comments in addition to the Congressional Black Caucus PAC comment. I think as Commissioner Traynor moved, these documents were submitted late, and I think it's always good to give the public the greatest opportunity possible to give us their feedback. I echo what the chair and what Commissioner Traynor said about the helpfulness of that comment. So thank you very much.
I just as the chair, I in my mind I thought I had July 13th as the next meeting. I don't have it in front of me, so if Madam Deputy could just confirm that for us, we might need more than 2 days. Is the reason that I say this? Is
you are correct and I am wrong.
Okay, so maybe as opposed to the two, and we should have a D for day. We can ask for maybe go back to that 2 week time period if council would consider it, so we can just have a sufficient time to be able to resolve this. Commissioner Cooksey is eager to get back into the open meeting, but in my mind, I was like, 13 sounds familiar. So we will ask that our staff reach out with council. You have already indicated the willingness, but to confirm the time frame, if you would, please. And with that, we will hold this matter over to the next open meeting with the intention and the strong goal of everyone to try to resolve this on tally. And I want to thank council, thank my colleagues for the very helpful questions that we've had today, and hopefully we can reach some resolution. So thank you.